The same year, George Eastman unveiled the Kodak camera, Canadian immigrant Martha Matilda Harper opened her beauty shop in the Powers Building here in Rochester. It was 1888. That shop would become the launching point for Harper's 500 franchises around the world. She's credited with revolutionizing the hair and beauty industry and creating the first modern worldwide retail format franchise. But author Jane Plitt says Harper has been largely forgotten in history. Jane is in Rochester this week promoting her third Harper biography. It's called Martha Matilda Harper and the American Dream, How One Woman Changed the Face of Modern Business. And for the sake of full disclosure, I want to mention that Jane Plitt was some 20 years ago the chair of the WXXI Board of Trustees. Jane, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be back home.
Well, Martha had quite a different start in her business life than George Eastman did, I take it.
She certainly did. She was bound out from the time she was 7 in Canada, and she was destined for poverty, and her only option was marriage, and she thought that would have been continuing being a servant. So she persisted, but fortunately, her last Canadian employer taught her about healthy hair care. And he also, on his deathbed, gave her a formula for a hair tonic. That she took that formula, crossed Lake Ontario, and came here to Rochester, determined to change her life.
And I found it so interesting. You wrote about the fact that she worked as a servant in these wealthy homes, and she learned about how to influence people by watching the men in those homes.
Indeed. And she also learned that the Powers Building was where everything that was important happened. Banking, legal, there was an art gallery, there were music lessons. And so she was fairly strategic in deciding if she was going to open this first revolutionary beauty shop for women, it had to be in the Powers Building. There was just one problem. Daniel Powers, the owner, didn't want her in because he was sure it was going to attract prostitutes.
And we should mention, women in those days who could afford it had someone do their hair in their home. It wasn't necessarily something they went out into public.
Not at all. So this was a revolutionary idea. And Daniel just did not want to chance that his fancy building could be compromised. But Martha, having watched, saw that Congressman John Van Voorhis had supported Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony. So she approached him and said, "Would you represent me and get me into the building?" He lobbied on her behalf. Daniel conceded that she could come, but on the condition there would be no lease and that he could throw her out once it attracted the women of disrepute. It didn't. It attracted society people. And it also attracted outsiders in the same way that we bring people to go see Wegmans as the showpiece today. People brought their friends to go experience the Harper Shop.
And it attracted clients like a woman you just mentioned, Susan B. Anthony, who wanted to support a woman in business. And in more the current era, first ladies?
Absolutely. Grace Coolidge brought her friend, who was Bertha Palmer from Chicago, and Bertha was going to head the women's division of the World's Fair. She fell in love with the Harper Shop and insisted that Martha bring it to Chicago. Martha countered that she had to get Bertha a list of 25 women who would patronize her if she located there. And of course, Bertha delivered that. Now Martha had to conceive of a whole new way of expanding because bank financing for women was not readily available. And she came up with this idea that she would be basically headquarters and she would have these shops all over, following her directions, being trained by her, and they would expand. And that is exactly what she did. It's interesting that the franchise word comes from the French, which means to free from servitude. And that's what she did. The first 100 of her shops went only to poor women. So she felt that she was not only empowering herself, but empowering poor women while also empowering her customers to believe that the beauty she was providing was their beauty. She believed that health was beauty and that each of the Harperites were taught to bring the inner beauty of every customer out.
All of that you just said, the social capitalism, her philosophy about beauty, using natural products and bringing out a person's inner beauty, that all sounds like you could be talking about someone who just launched a business today in 2019.
And that's why her story is so relevant today and why all Rochesterians, in fact, everyone, should be using her as an example of path blazing. Because she had a really hard childhood. She had to stick to her dream. And for 25 years, she had to overcome what was supposed to be her destiny and transform it, and transform it for other people. So what we learned from her are great business techniques, but also that immigrants can bring good ideas and they can be innovative. And in today's time, why we don't embrace everyone the way Rochester clearly did in the 19th century is an opportunity for Rochester to continue to be this birthplace of great entrepreneurship.
Martha Matilda Harper is in the National Women's Hall of Fame. She was inducted posthumously at Seneca Falls. Why do you say history, locally and globally, has forgotten about her?
Because it took me 25 years to uncover the story and find her artifacts, many of which were stored in Biola, Wisconsin, by dedicated Harperites who wanted to make sure that their story and their love of the Harper method would be preserved. Fortunately, Rochester Museum and Science Center is now the official caretaker for all of these wonderful memorabilia. And her story needs to be held up in the same way that George Eastman is, as a representative of using business for social change. And she's just the perfect pioneer. And we don't talk about her in business books. We don't talk about her in local history. And it's an opportunity for us to understand that men, women can both be innovative. And we should cheer her on.
What was in that tonic? I would love to know. Do we know? Is it a secret?
It is a secret. I understand it is owned by, right now, a gentleman in Canada. But I believe that it is, if we dig deep enough, we will be able to find out. And all of her products only used organic ingredients, and she was strongly against chemical hair dyes at the turn of the century, thinking they were dangerous and that they could harm. And again, she goes back to her belief that you had to be healthy and that would make you beautiful.
Martha Matilda Harper died in 1950. Whatever became of her 500 franchises across the world?
They continued to operate. What changed was she married late in life at 63, and her husband took over, and he brought in a network of male leadership. That began to change the spirit of the organization. And as he ultimately became Martha's caretaker, he sold the business to two gentlemen who were not of the same caliber that Martha was. And ultimately, they sold it to a competitor in 1972. And that company, Jakeway Beauty Supply, went out of business. And that was when some of the Harperites went into dumpsters to save the artifacts. And they had 35 boxes of her artifacts that they moved, waiting for me to, they told me 20 years later, to knock on their door and say, "Hi, I want to talk about Martha."
Wow. Well, you've really picked up that thread of history, and I know this subject fascinates you. It's a fascinating story. You will be, you mentioned the Rochester Museum and Science Center has some of the artifacts. You will be there on Wednesday night at 5:30. What's going on there?
Yes, there will be a book launch of this paperback, which contains a directory of the 1940 Harper Shops worldwide. So people are invited, there is not a charge, but reservations are requested, to come see some of the artifacts, hear a little more about Martha, and if they wish, they can purchase the book, but they can also purchase books for their young children and young adults, because this is a story that all of us at all ages should love Martha.
You have in your book, Jane, a list of a dozen or so local Rochester addresses that are former locations for Harper salons. We even have here still the building that she used as her factory that you could still see her name written on.
Yes, I just drove down East Main Street, and there it was. It is now being used to store tires.
Tell us where in East Main it is.
I believe it's 1123, diagonally across from where the bus depot is.
Oh, yeah.
And her name is engraved in the building. Martha taught us that it was okay to acknowledge our achievements, and women often are reluctant to do that. So I love seeing her name inscribed. She also is buried in Riverside Cemetery, and there's a beautiful tombstone with her cornucopia, which represented the symbol that you could free yourself by feeding yourself.
Jane Plitt, the author of Martha Matilda Harper and the American Dream, How One Woman Changed the Face of Modern Business. Jane, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for telling the story.
And thank you.